Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's time for the Dakota Political Junkies, where we'll talk about the state's top political headlines. Today with us, Dana Ferguson from the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. Dana, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Also with us, Roger Whittle, with the managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, thanks for being here as well.
My pleasure.
Let's start with the big news in the nation and how the South Dakota congressional delegation is fielding questions about violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. And Dana, you wrote something about it in the Argus Leader, so let's start with you and Senator Mike Rounds' response.
Sure. I sat down with Senator Rounds yesterday during the time he was in Sioux Falls, and we chatted a little bit about his opinions on some of the goings on after the violent rallies over the weekend in Charlottesville. He very strongly condemned the violence and the actions of the groups involved, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, and others, and said that that was in no way to be tolerated, that those groups need to be exposed for some of the messages of hate that they share. But he would not go so far as some of the other minority congressional leaders in saying that he believed that Steve Bannon, who is an advisor to the president and known to have connections to the alt-right, he said he wouldn't say whether he should step down or if the president should fire him. So he wouldn't speak on that issue, but did have strong condemnation for those groups. The day before, I spoke with Representative Kristi Noem. She also had strong words of opposition for the KKK, for neo-Nazis and others. And John Thune has not spoken out on this quite as much, but was one of the first to issue a statement on Twitter on Saturday, immediately after some of the violent incidents there started. And he condemned the groups and said that hate was not acceptable in this country.
Roger Whittle, let's bring you into the conversation. And let's first talk about why this matters, that, you know, why is it so important that Senator Rounds and Senator Thune and Congresswoman Kristi Noem have something to say on the matter in Virginia and elsewhere in the country?
Well, I mean, it's what America is all about. We've fought the Civil War and World War II against white supremacy and racism, and we've just gone too far to slip back into that horribleness. I don't think our delegation has gone far enough to repudiate what's going on. Especially it took our president several days to even place any blame on the white supremacists themselves. There should be an outrage that I don't see among our delegation and people in general.
How far is far enough, do you think, Roger? What sort of language did we need to hear? When did we need to hear it? Where you would say that was the appropriate response to this?
Well, I can speak for myself. And for myself, I think the immediate and the strongest language possible was the only acceptable response. And we didn't get that from anybody.
Dana, what's your thought? I mean, it's a kind of a personal response that people have, too, of what you want to hear. It's visceral. It hits exactly, you know, deep in people's psyche.
Right. I think it's just interesting to hear, too, what they're saying. Obviously, now the full delegation has voiced their fairly strong opposition to what's going on or what happened over the weekend in some of these groups that have been very present in our country and increasingly so. I'm thinking specifically about the alt-right. And to hear them really be on the record denouncing these groups, I think, is a step in the right direction. However, I would agree that not hearing from them until this week, Monday and Tuesday, when something of that violent nature occurred on Saturday, is surprising and a little bit disappointing. Obviously, a number of other politicians and elected officials voice their opinions pretty clearly, whether on social media, in the press, or in statements, denouncing these instances right away. and to not have that immediate sort of condemnation of these groups and their acts is disappointing for South Dakotans, I think.
Roger, let's talk about some specifics. So is it about denouncing what's happening, or is there a delineation between saying what's happening is wrong and between specifically calling out individual groups like the KKK, the Aryan Nation? How important is it to say, I disavow this group, not just a vague sort of what's happening? Is that where the confusion kind of comes in with a vagueness of language?
Well, I'm not sure I would agree with that. You can call them hate groups, call them by their name, the KKK, and call them the alt-right. You know, what we call them doesn't matter. It's what they stand for that we need to be against. And what I've seen so far is people, politicians especially, being more concerned about being loyal to their party and to their president than they are being loyal to the people and to their nation. And that's just wrong. I mean, that this was the horrible, horrible thing that happened, and to not immediately come out and say how horrible it was wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I see no way that politicians can ever recover from that.
Roger, do you think alt-right is a precise enough phrase? Is that umbrella?
Yeah,
yeah, let's talk about that.
I think that name is kind of whitewashing, pardon the language, what these groups stand. I mean, they're hate groups. The neo-Nazis, let's call them that. Alt-right sounds, you know, like it could be fun. But, it's a name that I think was invented. And I don't think it's really accurate. It doesn't really say anything. I mean, you can be right-wing. You can be conservative. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm conservative in a lot of areas myself. But to give a whitewashed name for these hate groups, I think is wrong.
Dana, when you sat down with Senator Mike Rounds, what was his mood? Did he have an emotional sort of reaction to this like we're having today, like many people I've talked to are having about this conversation?
I would say that he did. There was a clear sense of frustration, anger, disappointment that this is something that we're having to deal with in 2017. It just doesn't seem like it's something in this day and age that we should have to be talking about these groups and talking about the violent actions that they have committed just in the last couple of days. And I know just in regard to the title, the alt-right too, for the white supremacist group, even the Associated Press has come out in the last day or so and said, we're not using that title anymore. One of the leading news services, if not the top news service now, is saying, we're going to call them what they are, which is a white supremacist group. And I think making that move, I think, will signal for a lot of other news organizations, ours included, that there need to be more specific defining terms applied to these groups that really show the hateful things that they're saying and what that means for our country.
Hmm. All right, let's transition and leave that there. I'm sure it's a conversation we'll have again in the future. But let's stay with Senator Rounds, Dana, and let's talk a little bit about tax reform. And when you talked to him, what were his thoughts about a tax reform package and its potential or challenges?
Yeah. So obviously the Senate has indicated that in lieu of a health care reform bill, they weren't very successful in bringing that. They're going to look to the next thing being tax reform. We've heard for a while now that there's a desire among Republicans in Congress to substantially shrink down the tax code, make it simpler, and reduce taxes for most Americans, if not all Americans, as well as for businesses, with the desire to bring more businesses back to the U.S., hoping they could have a more competitive edge as far as tax rates for those businesses. And Senator Round said, you know, he's hopeful that something can get done by the end of the year. He'd like to see a full tax reform package passed before then. But should that not occur, should there be a similar situation to the health care reform debate, he has a backup plan. And it's something that he has been sort of pitching since May. He essentially wants to take a simple step and just bring down the tax rates for everybody with the hope that that money, about $150 billion that would go towards the federal deficit, could then be pumped back into the economy. There are split opinions on whether that would be an effective strategy, but he seems confident that there would be support for that if he is put in a situation where he has to bring that contingency plan.
Roger, tax reform, do you think it has legs and traction, or do you think that we're in a situation where it's just going to be difficult to get consensus on anything right now with all that's happening in the nation?
You know, if we can do anything in Congress, it should be reform the tax code, because it's such a joke. I mean, it's ridiculous what we have to go through as Americans to pay our taxes. I always laugh at the stories when you call the three different IRS help people with the same question, you'll get three different answers. You know, it can't be that difficult to pay your taxes. And it should be an easy thing to do. It's everybody should be on board. I would love to see it happen, but I these days the way things are in Washington, I don't see it happening. And I hope somebody has a plan B, because I have very little faith in them coming up with a plan A.
Dana, let's talk smart voting machines in Minnehaha County. What do you know there?
So Minnehaha County is gonna spend a little bit of money to get some new voting machines for Minnehaha County voters. I think that is good news. It's been a bit of a running joke that the way that we vote in Minnehaha County has been a bit of a problem, just because we've had very late returns for our votes in the past. And so I think there's a sense potentially of optimism that this would speed things up a little bit. It will be interesting to see how these machines work and how they replace the current system of voting. I apologize, too. I'm out at Dakota Fest in Mitchell, and there's a little bit of background noise here as different golf carts are coming past. But, yes, we're going to get some new voting machines. I believe they're going to be in place for the 2018 election, so when folks go out to vote in the primaries, and in the general next year, they'll be able to get to use those and see what they think.
All right, Dana, tell us, what's the news from Dakota Fest? How's it going
out
there?
Very muddy and rainy. But beyond that, I am out here today just chatting with farmers and South Dakotans who've come out to Mitchell, just trying to get a sense from them of what they make of the whole political climate at the federal level. So far, what I've heard is that they are very fed up with fake news and the liberal media, and they really want to ensure that the president gets a chance to do his job and not be stopped by some of these stories that they sort of see as separate from the real accomplishments. They're very happy that he's been reforming and limiting regulations on various fields. And they say generally, while they're not always happy with some of his statements, that they think a lot of these distractions are unhelpful, and they want the president to have the ability to really get down to work and accomplish what he said he was going to accomplish during his campaign.
So, Dana, are they talking about fake news in the sense that it's stories that are actually made up, or are they talking about news that they feel overshadows some of the positive accomplishments of this administration? What's your sense there?
It sounds a lot more like it's stories that they don't necessarily agree with, or that they're not happy about what is being covered. For instance, they said that much of the issue in Charlottesville, for instance, was sort of a distraction that and this is sort of quoting what the gentleman told me, but that there were two sides, and because of that, it became an inflated issue, especially in the media, whereas if those white supremacist groups had been able to protest without the media, without public attention, their views wouldn't have been spread quite as far, and there wouldn't have been as much of a national story around that. Whether or not others agree, obviously, is up to them, but they just think that a lot of the stories about the Russian investigation into the Trump campaign's ties to leaders in that country. Stories like that, they just view as unhelpful, and they want to see more coverage of what the administration is accomplishing out in Washington.
Roger, what do you make of that?
Yes, I think our president should be able to collude with foreign governments without the public knowing about it. That's no. I think we can go back to the voting machines now. Instead of having smart voting machines, maybe we need. All right, never mind.
All right, yeah. But what about this point that there are other things happening, Roger?
I don't see those other things not getting covered.
Okay.
I mean, I think the news media is robust enough where we can cover everything that's going on, and we should. That's, I mean, an informed electorate is a good electorate, and the more news coverage something gets, the more light we shine on it, and the more we know about it. So I don't think we should see any kind of news coverage as a bad thing.
Dana Ferguson, thanks so much for being here. She's out at Dakota Fest. You can read her reporting from that at the Argus Leader, argusleader.com. Thanks, Dana, for being here.
Thank you for having me, Lori.
Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Thanks so much as well. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.